This is Vectis Radio, FM 104.6.
She kissed my face and said life means nothing at all.
Oh, wow. Two of my most favourite B-sides ever. And we'll talk about those in a mo, but we've got to welcome three anoraks in the studio. We have, I mean, is that a nice way of describing us? I think it is, and we love our B-sides, don't we?
Oh, yes.
We've got, it's done in a loving way.
Yeah, yeah. We've got Gary Jackson in, and we've also got from AAA Records, it's Jonathan Bacon. Hey, this is going to be a great show, isn't it, this part of the show?
Yes. Possibly one of several as well, from what you were saying yesterday when we started talking about this. There's too much for an hour.
We're only going to scratch the surface, aren't we? We really are. So look, we played your Squeeze and yap, 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 and you eventually guessed what the other side was.
Oh, and I've forgotten again. Tempted. Tempted, which I thought was much more successful than you told me it was.
Yeah.
Which is a wonderful song.
Barely. I don't think it even made the top 40. I was so disappointed. I thought that would be a number one song, and it never was. Great radio hit, but not a hit. They only ever had three top 10 hits. Up with Junction,
Anorak,
Call for Cats, and go on, name the other one.
Hourglass.
No, that was number 17. Oh, that's really showing me up as an Anorak. Labelled with Love.
Ah, right.
Which, if you look at the B-side of Labelled With Love, what was on the B-side of that?
Another song.
Yeah.
think about the time. 1981, what was massive at that time?
Margaret Thatcher.
No, she wasn't massive in our house. No, if you remember, Star Sound was huge. So Squeeze.
Oh, Squabs on 40 Fab. Was
that
it
was it. It was a Mickey take of Stars on 45, yeah. And they did all their hits, plus a couple of album tracks as well. So, look, let the anorak
What's
stuff...
not to like?
Oh, there's so many things we're going to talk about, interesting facts. I'm going to come to you, gentlemen. I want a fact from you about B-sides and so on. I'll just start the ball rolling, because otherwise I'll forget it. There was a bloke that used to be my dad, but then he wasn't. He used to run a pub. Go with me on this. He used to run a pub, and he used to have a jukebox, and he used to give us all the records, all the old records from it. And there was one particular song. I'm only saying this because I wouldn't have bought it. You know, it was given me. And it was a song by Ray Stevens. Okay, it was Misty. You know the song Misty?
Yeah. Yep.
Guess what was on the other side?
Oof.
I can only think of one other Ray Stevens song. That was Nate.
The Streak?
Yeah.
No. On the other side, when the mist clears, what do you get?
Oh, on a clear day you can see forever, something?
No! Sunshine.
Ah.
So you've got Misty on one side, Sunshine on the B side.
Right.
Wow.
Well, I thought it was great. I thought it was a great point to make. Anyway, come on, hit me with an interesting fact about B sides.
Shall I go first?
Yeah, go on, you go first, and Beardy.
We used to call me Hair Bear. Probably Hairier Bear now, aren't I?
Yes.
one of the most successful songwriters in 1984 was Jerry Marsden, because his song Ferry Across the Mersey was the B-side of Relax by Frankie Goes to Hollywood, which was a massive hit.
Yes.
And one of the things about B-sides when they existed was that there were equal royalties for each side. So if you managed to get your song on a B-side...
You got as much money.
You got as much money as the A-side, even if it was rotten.
Mm.
People were buying the A-side, you got paid for the B-side. So Jerry Marsden was very lucky to have Ferry Across the Mersey, recorded by Frankie Goes to Hollywood in 1984, whenever it was.
Yeah.
Put it on the B-side of Relax, which was a massive hit all over the world. And that was probably his pension pot sorted.
I'd forgotten all about that. Yeah, no, absolutely. They didn't do a bad version of it either, did they?
It was pretty good. It was like, I think they put it on the album as well. But yeah,
it was. Yeah, it was on the. Oh crikey, what was the album called?
Welcome to the Pleasure.
Welcome to the Pleasure Dome. He would laugh at the end of it, wouldn't he? That was Holly Johnson, wasn't it? So come on, Gary.
You could retitle this show. Welcome to the Pleasure Dome.
Yeah.
Well,
you can do the laugh.
We could do Welcome to the Silver Dome, because we're silver nominated and silver award winning. Okay, Gary, come on.
Some B-sides started life as B-sides, ended up going to number one.
We touched on this just before, so you can tell us the story, because I would imagine you were there.
Yeah, slightly after Wax Cylinders. Did Wax Cylinders have a B-side? Some songs. I thought it was disc jockeys on big radio stations that would listen to both sides of a record and think, hang on a minute, that's better than the one they're plugging.
Oh, and they played it by mistake.
Oh, yeah, could have done that. Baby Come Back by the Equals, originally a B-side.
Right.
What was the other one I was thinking? Oh, Juliet by the Four Pennies. Originally a B-side. Both went to number one.
Okay.
In the end. And the one that the American disc jockey flipped over, that subsequently became a hit, Long Cool Woman in a Black Dress by the Hollies.
Oh, wow.
Was originally a B-side.
I didn't know that. And the one we mentioned just before 12 o'clock, where somebody had flipped over and played the other side, I think was originally on Reason to Believe.
Yeah.
And they flipped it over and made
Maggie
a mistake.
May. Yeah.
Yeah, Maggie May was started going back up the charts.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
one of the biggest disco hits of all time was a B-side originally, number one in 1979.
Go on, what was that?
Well, why don't I ask you?
hit me the question again, come on.
One of the biggest hits of 1979, a disco classic, still played today at any wedding reception or party, was originally a B-side. What was it?
Oh, crikey. Well, the only thing I can think of is YMCA should have been a B-side, shouldn't it?
Celebration, Cool on the Gang?
I Will Survive by Gloria Gaynor.
Oh, wow. So what was on the other side?
A song called Substitute, which I don't think... Well, don't ask me to hum it. It wasn't the Who song, but...
Wow. There you go. You learn something every day. I didn't know that one. That's quite a fascinating one. Yeah, I'll give you that. Got any more?
The Model by Kraftwerk. Because that was an album track in 1978, and they put it out as a B-side in 1981, and suddenly that became the one that everyone played.
Okay.
Computer Love was the...
Oh, yeah, Computer side, Love.
Which is the song that Coldplay pinched a bit of a few years ago. I think by agreement. But
can you say that?
agreeably borrowed.
Agreeably borrowed. That's a better terminology, isn't it? Yeah. Okay. I didn't know that either. I knew that it was a re-release of sorts, but because it made number one in about 1982.
Yeah. It came out in 1978, but it was certainly just pumped out again as a B-side in 1981, 82.
Hound Dog was an original B-side.
Yep.
Elvis Presley.
And we talked about The Jam, who obviously did wonderful B-sides, but Going Underground was originally... I think it actually came out in the end of the day as a double A-side. The song on the other side was Dreams of Children, but that was supposed to be the A-side.
Really?
And Paul Weller just thought, oh, that's by numbers Jam, Going Underground. But, of course, that was the massive hit.
Yeah.
And originally that was going to be a B-side.
They did a lot of stuff that on their albums that were B's, and they got played, and they were, if you saw some of the 7-inch singles, they must have thought so much of the B side that they actually named them on the front side of the cover, so they would put the track out there. I mean I think they put a lot of work in, a lot of effort into. Some people just bung an instrumental on the other side and call that it, don't they? But they did put a lot of.
Do you know what the laziest one is?
Go on.
Andy in the shop in AAA Records, which of course is your Newport's premier record shop. I was in there earlier this morning, and Andy spoke to me, and is that a good plug?
Yeah, it's a great plug.
And reminded me, do you remember, I think it predates all of us actually, Napoleon the 14th and the song They're Coming to Take Me Away.
Oh, yes.
How did they really cheaply do the B-side for that?
It was the A-side backwards.
It was the A-side just played backwards.
God blimey, you're good at this, Gary, aren't you?
Only the stupid ones.
So that's what they did. That is lazy, isn't it? That really is lazy. Come on. I mean, I'd rather have an instrumental than that. That's just silly. Any more?
What else is there? Ain't No Sunshine, Bill Withers. I think that was originally a B-side.
Okay.
And then you can just start talking about the Smiths as well, because... I think they were sort of the ones that followed the Jam in terms of just being really quality B-sides. But How Soon Is Now? That was originally a B-side.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know
and
that.
Then everyone thought, that's the song, that's the better song. That's the one that Johnny Marr still plays to this day.
We are going to play a couple more B-sides in a little while. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back with probably the biggest song ever. not the B-side itself, but the biggest song ever, the other side of that. And with that is a cracking story that Jonathan Bacon is going to tell you. Okay, so that's what we're going to do. Quick break, we're coming back with that particular song, the biggest one ever.
Vectis Radio, your hub for live and local radio that's not networked during the day. FM 104.6.
Ah, that's another one of those classic B-sides. Welcome back. You're listening to Vectis Radio, and yeah, I knew that was going to happen, don't you worry. And, and we're doing a B-side special. We've got three anoraks in the studio. We've got Gary Jackson, we've got Jonathan Bacon in, and tell us the story on that one, because there is a great story.
Well, I mean, it's the 50th anniversary of the track. It was the... B-side too, which was Bohemian Rhapsody by Queen, which everyone knows, but no one turned the record over and played that song. But it's that thing again, which we mentioned with Jerry Marsden, that Roger Taylor, who was responsible for I'm In Love With My Car, did as well out of that single as Freddie Mercury, because he got equal royalties for that 2 minute thing as Freddie Mercury did for the 6 minutes of Bohemian Rhapsody and all the months of work that went into that, which no offence to Roger Taylor, but I don't think it took quite as long to come up with and play I'm In Love With My Car. But the quirky tale is, and apparently that caused quite a lot of friction in Queen, and eventually a few years later you look at the credits and suddenly everything's just Queen rather than May or Mercury. But Roger Taylor liked that song so much, he was absolutely insistent it was on the B-side, and he locked himself in a cupboard in the studio until they agreed that would be the B-side.
I mean, do you think it was about the song, or he just thought Bohemian Rhapsody is a really, really good song that could sell loads? If I get my song on the other side, I'm going to make loads.
The story is that he just thought his song was so good, possibly even better than Bohemian Rhapsody, but there may be a cynical view.
Yeah, I must admit, when you hear that song, it's not really going to live long in the memory.
No.
It really
no.
isn't. But what a great story. And he's, I'm just thinking, 50 years, that's incredible. So do you reckon they'll re-release it this year? I mean, Roger Taylor's got anything to do with it, he will, but he'll make sure that that's on the other side.
I'm assuming it's going to come out in some way. I haven't heard. But
got to, isn't it?
Yeah, but I know everyone's been talking on the radio about it recently, because it must be almost to the day 50 years since it was originally released, because it was number, was it 9 weeks over Christmas 75 it was number one.
Nine whole weeks. Now look, I was looking up some Duran Duran, and what I wanted to find was I used to do this feature called Flip Side Flops, where I had a big file with loads and loads of B-sides in, and I can't find it. It's been wiped from the system somehow. Hopefully we're going to find it at some point, so we're ready for B-sides 2 in a few months' time. Now, the song I was wanting to get was The Reflex. Do you remember what was on the other side of The Reflex?
Oh, no.
Flex.
Yeah.
That one.
I wasn't a great Durani in the day. I don't think I actually went out and bought The Reflex, you know.
You did?
I didn't. I might have bought Iron Maiden about then, actually, if I was buying anything.
On the other side was number one from 1975 that they did live.
All I can hear is the sound of a rustling anorak.
From 85 originally.
75 originally.
75.
So the song Reflex came out in about 1984, didn't it? 1984-85 time.
Pure guess, Girls on Film?
No, it's the 70 song that they covered was 75.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go on.
They did a brilliant version of Come Up and See Me Sometime. Make Me Smile.
Right.
Yeah.
Ah.
It's fantastic. It's done in a Durani kind of rocky kind of way. Really, really clever.
Ah.
So, do you remember this? No clue. It's obvious who it is.
But it is, because it's said on a screen in front of me.
if you bought a particular song back in about 1980 that should have been a number one but never was, it was kept off the top spot by
Joe Dolce.
Oh, God, yes.
If you flipped it over, you had Vienna. So that was the B-side. Oh, great song.
Is that what you were saying about instrumentals?
There was singing on it. There was a bit of singing on it. There was. Now, you got any more over there?
What are we looking for now?
Gary, any B-side story?
B-side story? Oh. Well, I'll have to think about that one.
All right.
I'll come back to the second edition of the show.
Well, all right. I mean, you could say that I'm in Love with My Car is not a true B-side because it was also on the album. A real, real B-side is one that only came out on the B-side, wasn't on an album, didn't come out any other way. That's the mark of a true B-side, I'd say.
Right.
And there's a couple. I mean, you and I both started listening to music most in the late 70s, and there's a few from around there. I think I mentioned one yesterday and you found it for later. But songs like The Skids, TV Stars, on the B-side of Into the Valley,
yeah,
which didn't appear anywhere else. It was a concert thing, just shouting Albert Tatlock for 2 minutes.
That was magical, because yeah. It leads on to a story here locally, doesn't it?
Does it?
Yeah, you were there.
Oh, crumbs, and I can't remember it.
Isle of Wight Festival.
Oh yeah,
they did.
They played it a few years ago,
and
didn't they?
Everyone knew the words. I mean, it's not difficult, is it?
Yeah, but
Albert Tatlock.
Yeah, a 50-year-old punk band gets up on stage, and suddenly 5,000 people are shouting Albert Tatlock at them. Yeah, that was a moment.
I wonder if they knew who Albert Tatlock was.
Some of them did.
Yeah.
Go on, you were going to say about that.
And there's another one from that time that I love, and I wish I'd mentioned it to you to dig out for today. The Undertones, Jimmy Jimmy. Do you remember the B-side of that?
No, I don't.
Oh.
I don't think I bought that on a 7-inch single.
That was a fantastic song. How could you not buy that?
No,
if you like music.
Because I was limited to funds back then. Maggie Thatcher was running the country back then.
That's
so
true.
We didn't have a massive amount of money. I bought My Perfect Cousin.
But the B-side to Jimmy Jimmy was a song called Mars Bars.
Ah, yes. I got that. Bright green vinyl.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, Jimmy Jimmy. And, yeah, that's brought it back
to me.
Have
you still got it on bright green
somewhere.
Vinyl?
Yeah, somewhere.
Oh, you know, do a deal with him. Do a deal with him.
There's something like there's glucose for energy, caramel for strength, the chocolate's only there to keep it the right length. Brilliant lyrics.
Leads to some nice pieces of some lyrics. I love these. You mentioned during the break, what we were listening to a song, we were talking about Jilted John.
Yeah.
And Jilted John, the other side of Jilted John was a song called Going Steady. I wish I could find it because I love the lyrics on this. I've never been very lucky with girls, but then I'd never met Sharon. Now I have. I'm in love because we've been going out for 2 months. I see her on Wednesday and Saturday and Sunday afternoons. On Wednesday, Sharon goes babysitting for her mum's friend, Mrs. Higgins. I go to watch her.
You're singing it better than he did, actually.
I go to watch her telly. I've sung this many a time in the car. The kids are horrible. The house is dead smelly, but it's worth it because when they've got the bed, we start snogging on the sofa. Yeah, yeah, I love Sharon.
Yeah, she loves Sharon.
Oh, do you know what? I want to go out and dig out the old Jilted John album. And you mentioned a track from that particular album.
Well, he did a couple more singles, and I can't remember what the A side was, but there was very much in that vein a song called Baz's Party.
Yeah,
was a B-side as well. And I can only remember the last line. There's a guy throwing up in the lavatory. His name's Baz, it's his party.
It's funny we mentioned Jilted John because he did release quite a few singles, but only one of them was charted. And I'm pretty sure there was one about True Love. There was one called True Love. And on the other side was a song called Prepubescent.
Oh, right.
That's another track that we're safe for another time. But it was it was funny.
When you say safe for another time, is it one of those ones like some of those Ian Dury ones that you can't play on the radio?
Wow. Now you've brought something up. Which, yeah. I mean, there have been some clever Wizard the People.
Yeah.
That was Hit Me With Your Rhythm Stick.
It was.
But yeah. My favourite was the other
muck.
One. That one. Common as Muck. Reasons to Be Cheerful, Part 3. What a brilliant B-side that was.
Yeah. He did some really good stuff, yeah.
Sometimes you get a B-side from an artist or a band that are known for a certain type of music. Because when I was younger, I always assumed that whatever music an artist played, that was what they liked. And of course, it wasn't always like that at all. They just wanted a hit record. So you've got bands like The Sweet, who are thought of as glam rock. A lot of their B-sides are very heavy metal, where they were given their head on the B-side of the record.
Wow.
There was one called Done Me Wrong All Right. Sounds more like Status Quo than The Sweet. Marmalade in the 60s, pop band, had a residency at the Marquee in the late 60s, early 70s. And a lot of their B-sides, one of their B-sides was Hey Joe, the Jimi Hendrix song.
Wow.
Wasn't the original version.
Fascinating.
That was the sort of music I think they were into, rather than what the record company wanted them to put out.
I think that Sweet thing, that was one of those things where the fact that you weren't as much on the B-side was important, because they were, I mean, on most Sweet singles, they didn't play. It was just a guy, what's his name, Brian Connolly, he sang, but it was all session musicians, and it was Mike Chapman, Nicky Chinn, who were this sort of Stock Aitken and Waterman of their day, and they were writing for Sweet and Susie Quattro and just about anyone who was in the charts, and they would be using the Sweet just as a factory to put these songs out. But the way they put their foot down was, we're doing the B-side and we're doing what we like and we're playing it, and because there's quite a few people out there who are just aficionados of Sweet B-sides, because that's the real band.
Didn't they do an old Diana Ross thing as well? I think that was one of their B-sides as well.
Don't recall
Love
that
Child
one.
Or something like that they did.
We might have done, yeah.
That's going to be show two, definitely.
Okay, yeah. There's a lot coming up in show two for sure. Now, look, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back with Tell Us About This Song, because it's the other side is Tom Hark.
Oh, right, okay, yeah. So I couldn't see what you were referring to. We're coming back with that one. So, yeah, Tom Hark, The Piranhas. And I mentioned to you the B-side's great. But it's one of those singles where it was really good value. You got two songs on the B-side, and you've picked the wrong one. But it is still a good song.
I'll tell you what, we're safe, because obviously we can do that next time. But you might cut your arm on. I think this is a top song. You're going to hear it in two ticks.
And the other one's even better. So yeah, enjoy this and just... with.
Gee, I love that. I've only heard that twice, and I think it's such a catchy little tune. That's typical of its time, don't you think?
Yeah,
and so. It was great, as I say, because that was one of the two tracks on the B-side. You've got a whole two songs, and we'll play the next one next time, which is even better. But the other singles, like you were saying about B-sides, just remember, almost exactly the same time, Two Pints of Lager and a Packet of Crisps, Please.
Oh, yeah, that was a...
That was the second track on the B-side. What was the A-side?
Hang on, it will come to me. Two Pints of Lager and a Packet... It was Splodginess Abounds, wasn't it?
Splodginess Abounds.
And it was at Simon Templar?
Simon Templar. And then the first track on the B-side...
was... go on.
Michael Booth's Talking Bum.
I've forgotten all about that one.
With a comb and paper solo at the appropriate place.
Do you know what? I was going to have... because we had so many problems this morning, I didn't have enough time to sort it out, but I was going to be playing a little bit of audio. It would have been a little bit of audio from a beginning of a B-side, and it would go somewhere in the region of, "Oi, scurvies!"
Right.
Yeah, but you couldn't play the rest of the song.
But you couldn't play the rest of it.
No.
But it was a great song. Digging in the Rigging, I think, was the cleaned up version.
Yeah, something like that. I vaguely remember it.
I think it was the old rock and roll classic that they was on the A side.
Something else.
And it was something else. And it was when you listen to that song, you just think, what a fantastic song. Because it was just something about it. It had everything in it, really everything.
Well, it had a lot of swearing, and if you were 12 or 13, it was brilliant, because you didn't get that from
it. I remember being at school, and this little nipper from I can't remember what his name was, and he was telling me that he was horrified that he went and bought this Sex Pistols single, and his dad had scraped off the B-side so he couldn't play it.
Oh, that's
sad. I used to have that on a picture cover. I obviously bought the album as well. But we're not talking albums today, we're talking B-sides.
And the next song, the single after that, Silly Thing, had one of the weirdest B-sides of all time.
Go on.
Who Killed Bambi?
Oh, yeah, that was Eddie Tudor Pole, was it?
Yeah, before he became Ten Pole Tudor.
Yeah.
And I was wondering about suggesting you play it, and then I thought, I've got no idea what he's saying. Because it's not singing. The vocals are so weird. But I did look it up. It's actually all clean.
Yeah.
But I've never known what the lyrics are. And the first time last night, I looked it up and read them. That's what it's about.
It's on our playlist, I'm sure. Who Killed Bambi?
But you can play.
Yeah. No,
I wasn't sure.
I love that as well. Okay, he can't sing, but I just think it's a great song, isn't it? You mentioned How Soon Is Now. Should we do some Bowie stuff? Because I know you're a big fan of David Bowie. I did see
I'm
one
big fan, a real bigger fan that is Andy in the shop. I asked him name a couple of B-sides, and he could only come up with David Bowie. But I think the top two he came up with, Round and Round, which is Chuck Berry cover, which is on the B-side of Driving Saturday. And then there's a song called Panic in Detroit, which is on one of the albums, but there's a live version of it on B-side to Knock on Wood. And those are two absolutely cracking B-sides.
Right, OK. The ones that I was thinking of, I can't see, but I remember now, 1983, Let's Dance, would have had another... Might have been an old single. Do you know what it is?
No.
Cat People? Cat People Putting Out the Fire.
Oh, that came out as an A-side as well, though.
Yeah, but it was on the B-side of Let's Dance, if you check. 1983. And there was another one here. Was it something about the moon? What was the song he had about the moon?
There was a great B-side to Starman, if
Starman,
I remember rightly.
It was. I've just found it. Starman. Guess what was on the B-side?
Ah, it's a rocker.
Me and my son used to sing it in the car. Wham, bam, thank you, man.
That's City. Part of it, yes. Yeah.
Suffragette City.
Yeah. So you know your stuff. Eventually we got there.
Not a proper B-side, though, because that was on the album. So
yeah, but that, now you're being extra fussy, because in the day, we wouldn't have known. We wouldn't
it's
have known
thing,
that.
My thing, being fussy. Well, on Ashes to Ashes, I think it's Ashes to Ashes, there's a wonder that he redid Space Oddity and did it more 80s. And it's a really good version.
And that's on the B-side of the single.
Yeah, and he actually did it on the Kenny Everett show once, I think, on one of the Christmas specials. And I'm pretty sure it's Ashes to Ashes. It's either that or the next single, but it was the B-side. And it's a re-recorded version.
I
prefer it to the original.
I thought of Wide-Eyed Boy from Free Cloud. That was one of his early B-sides.
Well, let's put you to the test. And you're a Led Zeppelin fan, yeah?
Well, they didn't do singles.
No.
Oh, they did.
Not in the UK.
Oh, right. Okay, well, this... Immigrant Song? What's on the B-side of that one?
Oh, well, that's quite a famous song, if you like your Led Zeppelin, because it's the one song that was never on an album.
Hey, Hey, What Could I Do? Or something
exactly.
like that.
Yeah. It's a fantastic song. It's the one song of theirs that was never on an album.
It was on the New Age of Atlantic, a sampler that came
out
in 1971.
Yeah, so that was the only way it came out.
Look, you two sound like two old ladies over a fence now. Okay then. So this was this. I bet you know something about this. So clear this one up. One of these was banned. I'm sure of it. On the B side to High was
Sea Moon.
Sea Moon, which was banned.
Yeah, some sort of drug reference.
No, High was banned.
Yeah, High.
Yes. High was banned. Yeah.
High. He had loads banned then because he also did Give Ireland Back to the Irish.
Yeah.
Right in the middle of the Troubles, and that was banned. Yeah, and I think there was another one that was banned around then as well, but he just seemed to be putting out stuff that the authorities took offence to.
Yeah, just wanted to, you know, notice, didn't he?
Rock and roll.
Sold records, I would imagine, yeah.
Thought he was getting too middle of the road, maybe.
I always remember this because I've got this on a playlist at home, and I love this song. It's an old Blondie song, The Tide Is High, but what was on the other side?
Oh, is that Susie and Jeffrey?
It is Susie and Jeffrey. Where'd you pluck that one from?
Yeah.
That's a great song.
The old gay cell.
That's a great song. It's all about someone being in a car crash, wasn't it? Because you can hear the car crash happen on the song.
Put it on the second show.
Put it on the second show. We'll put on the second
show.
A
5-hour second show.
Yeah. All right, I'll throw you a curveball. Neil, Hole in My Shoe.
Oh,
what was
gosh.
The B-side to that?
Do you know what? This is going to really frustrate me because I read his book recently. And, from the start?
Well, it's only about two lines, isn't it? Anyway.
Hello, shoes.
Oh,
I think I'm going to have to stand in you again. Do you want me to? Come on, put me out of my misery. He did tell me this in the audio book, and it was an old classic of something.
No,
wasn't it?
Wasn't.
No,
it was Hurdy Gurdy Mushroom Man.
Oh, yeah, but that's an old.
Trapped me in his frying pan. Because Hole in My Shoe was the old Traffic song, and yeah. I think he did a couple of. I think he did My White Bicycle on another single.
He
as
did
well.
A whole album.
Yeah.
There's a whole album of songs from Neil.
Oh, wow. You've got to listen to a whole album.
Oh, wow. Gary Numan B-sides?
Mm.
Well, no, let's rephrase it. The one, the number one, so if you bought Tubeway Army and Our Friends Electric and flipped it over, you got...
Oh, I don't
know. People are screaming the answer to us as we think.
Can you scream it a bit louder?
Yes.
We Are So Fragile.
Ah.
About 2 minutes long. It's a great song, but again, it's a bit like that one we mentioned earlier on, the Bohemian Rhapsody, where you know it's such a long song, you don't need to flip it over and play the B-side. Because let's be honest, why did we play our B-sides? It was to make our music go a little bit further.
Mm.
Nowadays, you don't have that excitement. True. Now. You can just get any track that you want. And how much fun was it? How much fun must it be? I mean, I bet, you know, you run AAA records, but I bet you're always thumbing through them records, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, because you get stacks coming in, and sometimes you miss something. You just you have to dig it out and give it a try, and you get some... I'm going off subject a bit, but you get some really odd stuff. We had a stack of 78s and had one that was obviously a personal recording, which you could get. You could go into recording booths in the 50s, and it was amazing. It was a couple... There was a recording booth on the top of the Empire State Building.
Oh.
And a couple had recorded themselves. It's only about a minute and a half. It's nearly perished. But just say, oh, look at the ships over there. And they then posted it off to relatives in the UK. You can find... Sorry, it's gone off the subject a bit, but I found that recently. It just amazed me. You can find little gems like that.
Yeah.
And, yeah, but yeah, just occasionally you find a single and... Haven't seen that for a while. What was on the B-side? Never heard that before.
Yeah.
Put it on.
And you go home from the shop with... You listen to the A-side a few times, and then curiosity will get the better of you and turn it over. And sometimes the B-side was brilliant. Sometimes, very rarely, it was better than the A-side.
Yeah.
And then other times you think, why did they bother? I mean, the tremolos in the 60s made some great B-sides. They could have had hits with some of their B-sides.
Yeah.
It's almost like, why did you just put an instrumental on and then you could have had another hit?
Yeah.
Yeah, how sad. I would imagine that, you know, there's a lot of emphasis because obviously it's down to the music, it's down to the limited amounts that we would have had back then.
Well, Manfred Mann issued a song by Man and Wheel called What Are We Gonna Do, I think it was, or What Am I Gonna Do, which was only on an EP. And I was interviewing Tom McGuinness of Manfred Mann once, and I said, how come that wasn't a single? It's such a great song. And he said, back in the 1960s, he said, we didn't have enough time to issue singles for everything. So we'd choose what we thought was the best song for a single, and everything else went on an EP or an album.
Right, okay.
And when you think of the shortage of songs since, there's so much great music around in the 1960s, they didn't have time to release it all.
What was that beat? There was a B-side of Boney M, one of the Boney M tracks that made number one. It might have been Rivers of Babylon. It might have been that one.
Mary's Boy Child.
No, I'm pretty sure it was Rivers of Babylon. On the other side of that...
Brown Girl in the Ring.
It was, yeah, Brown Girl in the Ring.
We used to sing that in school to annoy people.
Did you?
Yeah, because you have a classroom of children going very quietly when someone's chalking the board. But the trick was when he got to the chorus, and she looks like a sugar in a pot.
Look, we've saved the best one for last, so it's your favourite. So tell us the story behind this next song.
Well, we're going to have to. We could almost do a whole show on the Beatles and their B-sides, because I mean, songs like Revolution was a B-side to Hey Jude. In America, Strawberry Fields Forever was the B-side. It was that double A-side here. It was B-side to Penny Lane. There's so many of them, but this is one of my favourite songs of all time. It's a John Lennon song. It was the B-side, I think, to Get Back. It's called Don't Let Me Down. People, if anyone watched the rooftop concert, the Get Back film a couple of years ago, they played it a couple of times.
Fabulous,
on that.
Yeah.
And it is just an amazing love song.
Okay.
And the fact that you could have this on a B-side just shows how times have changed.
Yeah, you've got quality.
I love it.
Thank you, Jonathan, for coming in. I'll see you in a month's time. And we'll do Beatles B-sides 2. And thank you, Gary, for coming in. Good
pleasure
to see you.
Yeah.
So this is the Beatles in Don't Let Me Down, the B-side of
Get Back.